You, Mr.
Senate is now back in session. Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It has been distributed. I'd request a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have moved for the adoption of the amendment. This amendment essentially does two things. The first thing it does is the dialogue the Senator from Boone and I had about making sure that the funds from this project or the funds distributed for this project only go to benefit this project, not to pay obligations that may have been incurred in the past. This clearly spells out that this is for the aerospace project only. The second part of this amendment, what it deals with is typically in our economic development deals, those are done over 10-year cycles. So whenever we look at the return on investment to the state, those are looked upon after the first 10 years. The reason this deal is different is because we have a state TIF involved. Because of the state TIF, this is a 23-year deal versus a 10-year deal. What the second part of this amendment says is after year 10, DED will look at the net return to the state. If it's not already a net return, they will take the appropriate action to make sure that by the end of the project term, the state has received more than it's paid in. Basically, what it says is there's no way the state can lose money by doing this project. And so those are both both ideas, concepts, whatever terminology we want to use that we all agreed to. They've drafted language that I think meets what we are trying to achieve. And with that, Mr. President, I would renew my motion, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
The Senator from Nottoway has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5, the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from Gentry.
Senator from Mercer, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Okay. So Section 3, the language here relates to the facilities related to what we're trying to
right. So
here.
Any funds that come through that come under this project can only be used to benefit this project, not deal with prior obligations,
sure.
Prior problems. I mean, it's basically the putting in the language conceptually what we've all been talking about, but didn't know exactly how to do without a secondary vote, basically,
okay.
Senator.
And on the second piece. One thing, I was trying to get a hold of the governor's office here just real quickly.
Okay.
And DED, what is the, when they determine the net fiscal benefit, what are they going to be looking at that point?
It's their model, whatever the models are that they use.
So they're going to sort of update.
Basically right now we're all looking at spreadsheets that show us going into the black. Well, the first couple of years we're in the black. Then we go into the red during... you know, once it's built and it starts operating. But then from about year 7 on, we're positive all the way through. Typically, as you know, these deals, we normally benchmark them on 10 years.
Right.
But because of the state TIF, this is a 23. This just says, hey, at the end of 10, look at what you've done. And assuming that if it's positive, they don't have to do anything. If for some reason something changed in that formula, that equation, how things were paid out, and it's not positive, then what they need to do is they just need to make sure that the appropriate steps are taken so that it will be by the time they hit the end.
And the only thing I wanted to confirm, which I'm assuming is the case, is that essentially what you're saying is we're on the back nine of that bell curve, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The far. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And go ahead and confirm that because I want to make sure.
Yeah. Let me just confirm that. I think this is fine. This is what we've been talking about, trying to work.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from Atchison.
Senator from Atchison, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
All right. Thank you, Senator. So this has the two provisions that you and I have been talking about with DED. The first one deals with the state TIF issue, and the second one gets into the whole question of whether or not on build it's going to be a 5% or a 10%. And to avoid that, we're just looking at overall globally on the return.
Yeah, and
giving the governor what he's asked for, which is the flexibility
right.
to mix and match, basically.
So Missouri Works and build, I believe, they both have a positive ROI requirement built into them.
Right.
But what the concern was is if they took build from 5% to 10%, we're not going to hit that positive number.
I don't think we'd ever hit it.
That's right. No, that particular program would never go back positive. And so as we work through this, as you know, state TIF doesn't have necessarily all those requirements.
Right.
So instead of trying to do it program by program, we just said, listen, global cap, global look, if we are net positive, then we're in good shape. If for some reason we're not net positive, DED, take the steps necessary to make sure that we get to positive.
Right.
I mean, basically the theory behind this is that the state of Missouri should not be worse off after this project or this proposal happens.
Right, but without a couple of these safeguards, that is a possibility.
No, right. In fact, the part that's, if you really want to get down into the details of this, we have a $150 million annual global cap, but they only need the $150 million in the first 6 years.
Right.
From there on, it's half that.
Right.
So there is 75 to 100 to at the maximum $120 million of open cap space every year.
Right.
And so there were two options here. The first option was go in there and try to lower that cap space for each year. The problem is that takes away the ability of DED to negotiate if they need to in the final stretch. To try to get, instead of trying to micromanage to that detail, the goal here is to just say, listen, are the taxpayers going to be made whole, yes or no? If they're not made whole, then we're going to take the steps to make them whole.
Right.
And that's where we ended up.
Right, because, I mean, we're in a unique situation, and that normally if we were going to do a deal like this, it would be one session, if not more than one session.
That's right.
And a lot of these individual details like this we would have time to work out. The other dynamic that's different, and this is what's different from, say, the Ford deal a couple of years ago, is, you know, Ford had their people walk in the hall, meeting with us, making commitments on certain things, and so there was much more known. I have never met with anyone from Boeing on this. I don't believe you have.
No.
I don't think anyone in this chamber has.
Well, the part that's interesting about this that I think is a little different is this is the first time I ever remember a company just saying, hey, if you want us, give us a proposal.
Oh, an RFP, which we have not seen either.
That's right. And so you know, like when the Bombardier, whenever the whole Bombardier project came through here, that started at almost $1 billion. And after 26 hours of filibuster.
Of details like this.
Yeah.
Of working out.
26 hours
correct.
Of filibuster / negotiation / understanding it better. What we really understood was that the DED proposal was going to be around $250 to $300 million, which is what the total project was brought down to. And so the problem we have right now is we have a 7-day window. We have a legislative process because of times necessary for the bill to lay over, et cetera, that we don't have the time to do the type of research
right.
that was spent to do that. No one, as you pointed out, no one has actually walked the hall and said, listen, if you do A, we believe B will happen.
Right.
This is all just a, hey, do we want to be in the hunt or not?
Right.
And my point is if we're even going to get in the hunt, we're only getting in the hunt if it's good for the taxpayers.
Right. And so what I think what we've done here with your amendment, which incorporates these things we're talking about, is in good faith trying to tighten that down as much as is possible under a circumstance that's very difficult.
Right. Now,
though, I want to make it clear, I don't think this language is perfect. I don't think it's ideal.
Yeah.
I think it's a good faith effort to try and tie down some of these loose ends and not kill the deal and let it move forward with what the governor wants, which is maximum flexibility. And this language does not take any of that away from him. It simply is an effort to put as much protection on the taxpayer as we possibly can with what the governor's asking for.
Right. The final check and balance on this is going to have to come from, it won't be you because you'll be gone, but it'll be the senator from Clay, who will be on the Appropriations Committee, and some of the newer members. Because what historically happens on a state TIF is the local entity goes and bonds.
Hmm?
And the state TIF proceeds are then used to pay off the bonds. And it's going to be incumbent upon the members of this body who are left to make sure that what was bonded and paid for under whatever mechanism they use to do that to be paid for by the TIF, that it actually includes the appropriate cost, in that we're not paying for a runway we shouldn't pay for, or, you know, doing something that it was never the intent
right.
of this legislature.
Right, and so we do appropriate that. It's the one piece of this that, right. that will require an appropriation from the General Assembly. And
but,
I want to be perfectly clear, because I don't think anyone has a nefarious intent on this. I just, being a lawyer, I know there's a lot of smart lawyers in this state, and sometimes we pass things that we think meant one thing when it was passed, and some lawyer who's very smart but disassociated with the history of it reads it a different way and then moves forward. So potentially, could somebody come forward and try and utilize, you know, the state TIF in a way that we didn't intend? Sure. But balancing out all the timing of this and everything else, I think what we're trying to reflect here is it's our intent for this body to vote on this proposal as a package for Boeing.
That's right.
Not somebody else who might glom on and somehow take advantage of the language. We've tried to do that as much as possible in the language. You know, giving the governor the flexibility he wants. We can't tie it down as much as you or I might like to, even though I think this is a good faith effort to get there. But I don't think anyone should be fooled that at some point down the road somebody says, I wasn't part of that deal. And by the way, my camel's nose is under the tent now, and we want to try and get this. They should not fool themselves into thinking the General Assembly is going to be bullied into appropriating that amount in the appropriations process.
You know, you and I have stood on this forward before and talked about trust. The trust that should be there between the second floor and the third floor. And the reality is over the last 5 years, there have been times and moments where that trust has been broken. Whether it was the Highway Patrol buying a new helicopter with an E on their line, whether airplane, a new King.
They did buy a helicopter, but
yeah,
that was
that's right. We knew about the helicopter.
We knew about the helicopter.
But we're buying a lot of aircraft, aren't we?
Right.
Whether it was that, whether it was the $360 million that was, quote, absorbed, a term I have never heard in the appropriations process ever before. I mean, there have been time and time again where we have given an inch and they have figured out how to take a Mack truck through it.
Yes.
And that's why I just think that, to be fair, and to make sure that we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's, we need to figure out the best way to tighten this up while giving DED the ability to try to finish this negotiation.
I could not agree with you more. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
President, Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you rise?
Clyde, the Senator from Grundy.
Senator from Atchison, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I had a chance to just visit. It's fine. I think it works. I support it. I think at the end of the day, obviously the one-to-one requirement, but kind of 10 years from now, taking another look is a good thing to do. One thing I will say, that part of the protections that we're already included in here, which also mitigate that possibility the Senator from Boone talked about, is if this doesn't happen, this piece goes away in June.
That's right.
So this wasn't going to be out there indefinitely. But I
spoke that's the best part of it. I mean, if we get the deal, great. If the worst case scenario is we get the deal, then we're protected. If not, it all sunsets and we don't have to worry about it anyway.
Thank you for your work.
Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from Boone, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Oh, I heard your concern when we were out in the side gallery, and so I have to ask this question. Does a runway that goes from Boeing out or some, you know, airport improvement directly benefit the project?
I think it'll depend on the totality of the circumstances. If it is intricately tied to Boeing's project, then it probably does.
So does this paragraph 3 satisfy your concern?
Doesn't satisfy it as much as I would like, but I think negotiating in good faith is as close as we're going to get.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise? Senator from Nottoway, do you yield to an inquiry? He does. Proceed. Technical difficulty. Please hang on.
I think it's a sign from above. Yeah.
A couple of things.
That's up to the department, whether it's a tweaking of the incentive, whether it's a, you know, renegotiation with the company on number of jobs. We left that to them because I don't want to try to micromanage it a decade before it could occur. So that was why it is vague. I'll be the first to admit it, but we felt like we needed to make sure that everyone had the ability to work together to get it resolved. Now, honestly, Senator, if you look at the spreadsheets, the senator from Clay had requested this when we met a couple days ago on the spreadsheet on what's the cash flow look like.
Right.
In the cash flow, the scenario they're operating under now, we become cash flow positive and stay there from year 7 on, if I remember right, 6 or 7. The reason we use 10 years is because typically we always look at most economic development deals are benchmarked over 10 years because that's the time of that the credits run. This one just happens to be different because of the state TIF. That's what makes it the 23 years.
Well, and quite frankly, that's one of my concerns. If we get down to 20 years from now or however long this project is, the state TIF is the only thing that's left. So, and as we stated, the local government is going to issue bonds and pay them back with the TIF.
You're right. The state TIF would be the only thing we're still paying on, but part of what DED could do is they could negotiate a clawback with the company.
Okay.
That's the more likely scenario of what would occur. They say, listen, either you got to create X number more jobs to get us to positive, or you have a clawback of X number of dollars so that we're positive.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Nottoway renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5, the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has been adopted. We're back on the underlying bill. Further discussion? Seeing none. Senator from the 15th, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close on the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute as amended.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 15th for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute has been adopted. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I now renew my motion, or I move that the bill as amended by the Senate Committee, substitute Senate Bill 1, be perfected.
I've heard the motion from the Senator from the 15th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Atchison. I'm sorry?
I'd like to speak on the motion.
Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I wanted for the Senator from the 15th to go ahead and close out so that we knew the amendments were done. And then I want to take a moment and I want to talk about the public policy that we're really talking about here. For the last 10 months, this legislature has worked to have real debate and real dialogue about broad-based tax reform, about lowering the rates for everyone with the understanding that if you leave the money in the hands of the private sector, they will do more than what government can do. And unfortunately, that proposal was vetoed, and we were not able to have the votes necessary to override it. In the last 7 days, between a proposal on the western half of the state and now a proposal on the eastern part of the state, the governor has proposed nearly $3 billion in tax relief to two companies. Now, if you stop and think about that, $3 billion of tax relief over the next 20 years, I do not believe that is public policy that will facilitate the greatest economic opportunity and prosperity to the future. A lot of us believe in the private sector and the free markets, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, regardless of whether you believe that we want big Boeing projects or we don't. We all want big Boeing projects, but the real debate that this legislature has to embark on, the real challenge that we have to figure out how to overcome, and it's not going to be easy, is how do we move from the mindset and this practice that we are all guilty of government picking and choosing winners and losers through this type of behavior versus broad-based tax reform that lets consumers pick winners and losers through free market principles. And you know, this isn't going to happen overnight. And the senator from the 15th and I have worked diligently as we've worked for tax credit reform. Part of the idea behind tax credit reform is trying to lower the burden so that you can take that and reduce the taxes for everyone. But I just think that it's ironic. All the educational groups that have stormed this building in September, that met with all the legislators to tell them how we can't afford a tax cut, please don't do it, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to public schools. We have $3 billion of abatement that just happened through one branch of government with no open dialogue other than what we've had here today. I mean, this public policy is not healthy for the long-term economic prosperity of Missouri. And while many of us understand the desire, the need, whatever terminology you want to use, of those of the senator from the 15th who believes passionately that maybe this will help land the Boeing deal, hey, I hope he's right. But what I believe fundamentally, what I believe philosophically, what I believe is the long-term health that will create a better Missouri for my kids, I believe broad-based tax relief will do more. I believe that every business in this state keeping more of their own money ultimately leads to a better Missouri. Now, what's that mean? That means that we as elected officials have to be willing to give up the control. We have to be willing to say, you know what, the private sector does know best, not us. And that's at times a tough thing to do. So this proposal, although I personally will be voting against it, this proposal will pass, is my prediction. And it's going to fly through the House like a rocket. Anything that spends more money will make it through the House at probably unprecedented speed. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if they just suspended all their rules and just took it up and passed it all at once. But it doesn't change the fact that we still have a real dialogue that we need to have here. And that dialogue is going to outlive me. I mean, I've got one more session. But many of you, as I look across this room, are good people who came here with good intentions, most of you anyway, and now have the opportunity to actually take this and carry it on. And you know what? Man, it's going to be tough. We just lived through it. We just lived through a bunch of educators saying you can't cut taxes in this state or you're going to kill public education. Well, where are they at? Why are they not in the side gallery? I haven't had a single call yet. Yeah, in fact, they probably are going to endorse this. I mean, that's where we are. That's the challenge where we are. So what I believe is this. I hope the senator from the 15th and all those who have been working on this proposal, I hope Boeing does come to Missouri. I hope we end up with 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, 8,000 jobs, whatever it is. And you know what? It's great that we are able to provide tax relief for Boeing. But what about the guy in Bethany, Missouri, who's a banker, who's still paying the full load? Or the farmer down in Bolivar, Missouri, that is on two pensions from government but still thinks he needs a tax cut? I mean, it's real, and the challenge is there. And I would just ask, I would ask you all to just think about it, because it's going to be up to you to make it happen. And the most concerning fact that I have heard or that I've listened to was when we had the Senate retreat and the senator from Boone was going through the economic realities of where we are. And he talked about the percentage of people who lost their job during the economic downturn that have now become employed again. So of the people who lost their job, what percentage are back to work? Nationally, that percentage is 70%. In the Midwest, that percentage is 58%. But in Missouri, that percentage is 29%. We are half of the Midwest. We are less than half of the national average. The economic opportunities that are occurring in this country today are looking over Missouri. And we have that responsibility, whether we like it or not, to fix it. And it's not going to be easy. There's no silver bullet. But we better start taking on these tough issues, because if we don't, we are not meeting our fiduciary responsibility to the people of the state. So with that, Mr. President, I personally will be voting against this proposal, but I hope that as we continue this dialogue about how do we truly create a climate that fosters economic growth, economic prosperity, and a brighter future for our state. I sure hope we're willing to take on those tough battles that need to be had if we're going to leave this state a better place to work, live, and raise a family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from the 15th, you're recognized to close.
President, I look forward to working in the upcoming session with my friends on many of the ideas that the Senator from Grundy has articulated. We have been called here today and this week for a special session to consider the proposal before us. And I'm proud of the way that, as a Senate, we have worked together, Republicans and Democrats, the executive branch, the legislature, to try to put our best foot forward in competing for a transformational opportunity that means thousands of jobs. So with that, Mr. President, I close.
The Senator from the 15th renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 1 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess for 10 minutes so we can prepare a paperwork for the Senator for the 15th.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion, the Senate shall stand adjourned for 10 minutes. The Senate shall stand in recess for 10 minutes. The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is back in session. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to our business reports of standing committees, and I have a report.
Seeing no objection, reports of standing committees, send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 1, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the body to suspend Rule No. 52 for the purpose of taking up Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1 for third reading and final passage. And due to the inclement weather coming, I would ask the members to vote in support of this.
Senator from the 15th. Senator from the 12th.
I'd like to inquire the senator from Newton.
Senator from Newton, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. You're moving for the suspension of a rule.
Yes.
Because you're trying to avoid the weather situation that's moving in through the bottom part, specifically the bottom part of the state.
That's been a request for a majority of senators in this room.
I'm okay with it. I'm not going to object. I just want to make sure that very seldom do we suspend rules here. But there have been several of the members have talked to me about it. It makes a lot of sense. I have no issue. I just want to make sure that we as a body understand that what he's doing, we're all okay with. But it typically is not a practice that happens very often here.
I wouldn't ask it if I didn't think it was important to members traveling, and there's no nefarious reason to do this, Senator.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think it's important to get maybe some of our more elderly members home before the weather turns. Thank you, Senator.
I'll do as Ronald Reagan said. I will not debate the fact that. I will not debate you that you have less experience in life than I do, so, you know.
I wasn't thinking of you, Senator, but that's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, your request shall be granted. Senator from Newton. Senator from Newton, is it your desire to go to Senate bills for third reading?
It is my desires, Mr. President.
The order of business shall be Senate bills for third reading. Senator from the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 1, Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 1 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 15th. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill No. 1, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. So everyone's clear. This is the bill that we perfected 15 minutes ago. Thank you.
The Senator from the 15th moves that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 1 be read for a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to echo the earlier comments from the Senator from the 15th. I would like to thank all of my colleagues by their action or inaction worked together to allow this bill to move forward in a responsible way. So I appreciate all your efforts, the time that you took during what is a very busy time for all of us, and the remaining time that we have at home before we come up back up here in January. So much appreciated. Thank you.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you. As someone that's dealt in economic development from time to time and possibly...
Senator from Newton, would you like to speak on the bill?
Please, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Thank you. As someone that has been part of economic development in past years, and some in aircraft, I want to applaud the Senator from the 15th, as well as other members, both sides of the aisle, and those in the governor's office working together. This has been a unique opportunity. regardless of what you think of it, I think it's an opportunity that needs not to be lost. So thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I have about 20 minutes.
Could you start over, please, Senator? Put your microphone on, please.
I close.
The senator from the 15th renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 1 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 1, an act relating to aerospace industry job creation with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Seder, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 9th, votes aye. Senator from Green, votes aye. Oh, Senator from Jefferson, votes aye. By your vote of 23 aye and 8 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Senator from the 15th.
I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, call the roll on the emergency clause.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Seder, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 9th, votes aye. Senator from the 14th, votes aye. Senator from Christian,
aye.
Votes aye. Senator from Butler,
aye.
Votes aye. By your vote of 23 aye and 8 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll move to the order of business, and I have announcements, and I have an announcement.
Order of business is announcements. Senator from Newton.
The Senate will adjourn till 9 a.m. Friday, December 6th. This will not require the presence of the Senate.
Announcements. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from Newton, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I had a couple of questions from some of my caucus members. The 9 a.m. Technical session that does not require the presence of the Senate, what exactly will be happening during that time?
That is to receive a message from the House.
Okay. If the House does not pick this up, I know the House is going to pick this up and pass it immediately. If they do not, is there a possibility that we will need to come back?
I hope not.
I hope not, too. If that does happen, would that be something that would happen on Monday, most likely?
Or sooner.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
I'm sure the governor will be calling you as well as I will.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before this body. I move the Senate stand adjourned to 9 a.m. Friday, December 6, 2013.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned until Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m.